Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Tight Mates Podcast. Today we're super excited because we have our first female guest on the show. Today we have Gabby on the show, aka Iron Gal. Gabby's recently completed two Ironmen, full Ironmen, so massive achievements in itself. She's also done so many other things in the endurance world as well, so marathons, half marathons, 70.3s, you name it, Gabrielle's done it. She's also an osteopath and has her own business, which we'll also speak about today. So Gabrielle, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Pumped to be here.
I am very excited to be here. It's been a long time coming.
It has been, and we've spoken about this for probably, 6 months at least,
I think. Yeah, I reckon.
Yeah, and we actually, funny enough, met each other on a run.
Yeah, that's correct.
What happened? How'd that work?
Well, one day, I don't know, I was training for Gold Coast. Mm. So I think I was planning on doing like a 20K run. And I've seen this girl fly past me. And I'm like, oh my God, it's not common to see like, I don't know, people training really hard and running like really quickly. So I was like, I'm going to catch up to Gabby and ask her what she's training for. Mm. And yeah, we went from there.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't wait to get rid of you. I was like, oh, how long do I have to hold this pace for?
So you're trying to burn him off.
Yeah. I was hoping he would run past me.
we probably ran for like 10 or 15
Oh, easy. Yeah, well. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I was sort of wondering too, like, because I actually recently watched a doco with Lance Armstrong. And he initially, when he was obviously like 10 to 15, he started swimming first and then he found triathlons.
Yeah.
And he dominated in that when he was like 15 and then obviously specialized in bike riding as he did. What one did you initially start with?
I started with running.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wasn't super sporty as a kid. Mm. I think I started running when I was like 21 or 22.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What made that change with...
I had a couple of girlfriends that always did fun runs and I wanted to do one, but I couldn't run with them because they were runners and I wasn't basically. So I just decided that I would train for the 5K run for the kids.
Mm.
And yeah, where I was living at the time, backed onto a footy oval and I would just run around the oval. And honestly, I could barely do two laps when I started, and I was too embarrassed to run on the street, so I would just run on the oval until I got about, I don't know, six laps or something. I was like, all right, I think I've graduated to the streets now.
And then you gained a bit more confidence.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
When did you move into triathlons? So you were 21 when you started running?
Yeah. I probably did my first triathlon like maybe 5 years ago.
So how old are you now?
32.
Okay, yeah. So like 7 years after.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that was, I think I'd started doing, a couple of years prior to that, I'd started doing Peter Pub every year. So I started doing like a swim.
Mm.
And I knew I could swim and run, so I was like, how hard could bike riding be? Turns out it's really bloody hard.
So were you like always a swimmer like at school? Or
no, again, like not sporty, just like... I can swim. I don't find it like, you know, some people get in the pool and they're like drowning. I can naturally swim.
It comes like pretty easy to you, which is good. Yeah. Because there's a lot of people like that's the leg that they're just petrified from.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
But the only way you can get better with swimming is
just keep just doing
jumping
it.
In the pool. Yeah. Or if it's like bay swimming, you've got to go out in the bay.
Yeah.
Because sometimes like, the bay with the 2XU series can be pretty choppy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And scary too.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. People can have panic attacks.
Yeah. So your first triathlon, was that a 2XU one?
Yes. It was probably, I think, a sprint distance.
Sprint.
Yeah.
Which is, what is that again?
I think it's 750 in the water, 20K bike and a 5K run.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
And how did you find that as your first one?
I probably struggled a lot. I can't really remember
can't
now.
Remember it.
Yeah, but I was like super proud of myself. I didn't like, I think I knew one other girl that was doing it and didn't have like any kind of community or coach or anything. I was just like thrown in the deep end.
Just roll it in.
Yeah.
Yeah, like even a sprint, like it's a massive achievement for like anyone that can do it.
Mm.
Yeah. And then I guess from there, you might have started to get addicted.
Yes, I definitely got addicted.
What inspired you to start triathlons initially?
I think like with any race, I like the way it made me feel like you accomplished something, and even just training for something keeps you motivated.
Yeah, definitely.
Day in, day out.
Yeah, it definitely does. Outside and... So you said you had a friend that did the triathlon as well.
Yeah.
Was that probably what kicked it a bit more to...
No. I think it was just all something that I wanted to do. Yeah.
It was a goal that you set out.
Yeah, and it just was probably less intimidating knowing that someone else was doing it that day as well. Because, you know, rocking up to a start line of a run is one thing, but like having to bring a bike and change, you know, from a wetsuit to... Actually, I didn't even wear a wetsuit back then. Like, who am I kidding? You know, different... Again, didn't have bike shoes, so just had my runners. But yeah, it's more intimidating. There's more to think about than just rocking up to a start line of a run.
Yeah.
Oh, it sounds like nothing like went dramatically wrong in your first one, though.
I don't think so.
It went pretty smooth.
Yeah.
Because like, I guess like one, if you haven't done one before, it's like you sort of don't know like where to put your bike. Like you rock up on the day and you're like, wow. Like, you sort of assume that someone's just going to be there to, like, hold your hand and, like, go, oh, this is what you got to do.
Yeah.
But you rock up on the day, and if you haven't, like, read into it, like, you see, you just start watching people and, like, oh, they're writing on their arms. I better do that too. Yeah.
Don't have a texter. Like, don't ask people to text. Actually, no, I was really lucky. Another one of my friends worked for the organization that runs the events. So I did always have her, and I still have her to ask questions.
Good friend to have, I guess.
Yeah,
then,
yeah.
That you can always ask questions about.
Yeah, shout out to Bree. Thank you. She still puts up with our shit.
But I guess, like, for anyone that's sort of new to triathlons, like, maybe, like, if you're a bit unsure, like, I definitely was at the start, like, oh, like, I don't really know what I'm doing, but... Maybe like joining a group.
Yeah, 100%.
Like to get some insights, some coaching, just like some, you know, insights like where do you start?
Yeah, definitely.
And I guess recently I've joined Iron Ryan as well.
Mm-hmm.
So like just him giving me the confidence, like for the bigger triathlons, like just educating me on like what to do is probably like something really good for like people to consider.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they're entering that,
yeah.
Rather than just like rocking up, maybe.
Oh, yeah. And even like before race day, like trying to plan your week and fitting in three disciplines is really hard. So if you don't have to think about it yourself, it's much better.
So you like the concept of having a coach that really structures out the week for you?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had some time off after New Zealand and then I just... called my coach a couple of weeks ago and was like, all right, I'm ready for some structure in my life again.
Do you ever feel, because I think everyone's got the ability to sort of do it themselves, but it's definitely the accountability and knowing that someone can do it for you definitely helps.
Yeah.
And it feels a lot more of a guidance and you can get that general feedback. Do you have like feedback that you look for? Like, is it... So, Iron Ryan's your coach, yeah?
No.
Oh, no, he's not.
No, but, like, Gabby trains
sort of
with us. Yeah.
Like, if you've got a group to train with as well, though.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And my coach has been my coach for the last 18 months or so. So, all through this Ironman process. But he lives interstate. So having a community in Melbourne that I can train with is really handy. And it's nice just to have that.
Just to have someone to chat to as well. Like some of the training sessions that you do. Somewhat tedious. You could be out in the rain.
Yeah.
Be training for 6 hours sometimes?
6 hours on the bike, easy. And that's like 6 hours riding. So really you're out there for probably about 8 hours.
Yeah, by the time like you stop and refuel, et cetera.
Yeah.
How about we go into training for your first Ironman?
Mm-hmm.
How does that look? Where do you start? How many, what type of volume would you start with when you start training for an Ironman?
Well, I started my Ironman prep coming off a 70.3, actually two 70.3s.
Yeah.
So I did Geelong and then Melbourne.
Yeah.
So we had a pretty good base to start with.
Mm.
I think, God, I can't really remember now, but you'd probably start around maybe 10 hours a week, 8 to 10 hours a week, and then just slowly build from there. And usually I think they structure plans. I mean, don't hold me to this, I don't really know. But usually they do about 4-week blocks, and then you have like a rest week.
Like a
then you start another block again.
Yeah.
And I think that works well for me because you kind of, they're just like mini goals along the way.
It breaks it up, yeah.
Yeah.
Like little intervals, I guess. Yeah. But, so 10, you sort of start, I mean, you've built it up from the 70.3s, which you could be training anywhere from, I don't know, 5 to 15 for a 70.3.
Yeah.
Depending on like what type of top goal time you want there. And then, so from your 10 hours, sort of over, I guess, what, 3 to 6 month period, would you build up to?
I was probably doing the most training I probably did in a week was maybe like 21, 22 hours, I think.
Which is quite a lot.
That's a lot of training. Yeah. That's a lot of training. Yeah.
And what one did you predominantly train in? Was it quite even?
I think it was fairly even. Aside from the fact that you always ride more because the ride is the biggest longest part of, and it takes up the most amount of time. So, I struggled with the bike. Like, I just hated getting on the bike, basically. So the goal for me was to get outside on the bike and not hit watts and not do efforts and all that kind of stuff. It was literally just like, go out and enjoy it and just be a bit more confident and learn how to stop at traffic lights and, you know, things like that.
Is that the most intimidating part as to why you didn't want to ride? The traffic, because I know myself, I don't really ride because I don't want to ride on the roads.
And I think just being clipped in and being like, I don't know, I just felt like I didn't have the freedom. I didn't really know how to clip out.
I definitely remember one time when I was younger, I think I was like 15 or something, and we were training for the Great Big Bike Ride and had my clip-ins, first time sort of using it. We came to a stop and I forgot that I had clip-ins, so I went to pull my shoe out and I just went straight 100%. To the ground.
And like, apart from like hurting yourself, it's more about the bruised ego. Like, it's just too embarrassing. I couldn't stand it.
Someone in the car across the road seeing you stack. It is pretty hilarious.
Oh, it's the worst.
Have you had any like big stacks?
Not anything too crazy. Like, just the slow motions ones that you just like, oh shit, like, I'm falling, and then just slowly go
and you
down.
Can't do anything about it once you start falling.
Exactly.
It's pretty brutal sometimes.
Yeah.
Mm. What about injuries over your years of training in tries?
I've actually been pretty lucky, to be honest. Mm. I haven't, touch wood, had any massive injuries that were triathlon related.
What about no real niggles or anything?
No, I had a few issues with my foot recently. Mm. In New Zealand, I was in so much pain the whole marathon with my foot. I don't know if there was like a mechanical issue or whether it was my shoe on the bike that just compressed everything, but the whole run, it was just, I was in so much pain. So it was probably one of the worst runs I've ever had.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then like, it's been pretty good until I just, I call it my off season, but I was trying to run a bit more. I was going to try and sneak in a ultra marathon.
An ultra.
Yeah.
So just in your off season, you just thought, why not go do an ultra?
Yeah. Well, why not?
So the day that you hurt your foot, how many Ks did you do?
44. Yeah.
So just a casual marathon on the weekend.
44 kilometers.
Yeah.
That's crazy. In regards to New Zealand, so you did your first Ironman there?
No, I did my first in Cairns last year.
Oh, last year. And then you did the one recently in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Which one were you more proud of?
I think I'm proud of myself for both of them. Obviously, the first is always that, you know, moment that you're just like, holy shit, I actually did it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a really special one because a lot of our friends, it was all like their first one, and it was just a great day. And I really enjoyed the whole race. Like there was moments where I was in a lot of pain and stuff like that, but I don't look back and think, oh shit, that was like the hardest thing I've ever done. Like that was actually just a really enjoyable day.
For your first one, yeah.
Yeah. And then New Zealand was like horrendous. It was really hard. And like I was doing it by myself and I did a lot of the training by myself. And so to finish that one, because it was so much harder for me, like I'm really proud of that.
Yeah, definitely those hard times where you somewhat feel isolated by yourself definitely depicts and brings out more colors within yourself.
And like, what got you through your run, like with honestly, your mindset, like how did you get through it? Because some people would probably give up, like getting a really sore foot. How did you manage to pull through?
Well, there was a few things. Like obviously I was doing New Zealand to try and qualify for Hawaii.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want to have gotten that far and not finish it. Just because then I would have to do another one to try and qualify.
Don't want to do that.
Yeah, I don't want to do another one. And to be honest, like just knowing that there was so many people at home like watching and like, you know, rooting for me and stuff like that.
That reminded me of something. Was there anything else that happened during the New Zealand Ironman?
Yes, I took my fucking time chip off. Am I allowed to swear on this?
Yeah, that's
all
good.
I took my timing chip off when I got out of the water, which is a big no-no. Never do it. I do it every time. I'm not doing it again. And I forgot to put it back on when I got on the bike. So that was pretty shattering for me because, again, knowing that a lot of people who weren't there physically were watching from back home, I don't know, I just felt down.
So they would have been watching and been like, gee, where's Gabby?
Yeah, I know. Like,
they couldn't track where you were.
Yeah, it's on the tent or like, you know, did I crash or it's just, I don't know, I just wanted them to be able to see what I was doing.
But you did eventually get it.
Yeah, I got it back in T2. Yeah.
In T2. So on the bike.
On the bike.
How did they get it to
you? So when I left transition, I noticed like 50 meters into the ride that I'd forgotten. So I'd spoken to someone and they were like, all right, we're aware of it. And Phoebe was there and she is like, I don't know, she's just onto this stuff. She's amazing. She zoomed in on photos of me coming out of the water and was like, yep, her timing chip is on. And then she zoomed in on photos of me leaving transition and was like, she has never timing chip on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's... And so she like went to the official people and were like, this is my friend, her number, like she doesn't have her timing chip, you need to get it to her. And then so they all had her number and they're calling her being like, we'll leave it at T2. And she's like, all right. And so like when I did my little turnaround, she's yelling at me being like, it's at T2, you'll be fine, blah, blah. So it was, amazing. Yeah, thank God she was there. Poor thing, her phone was blowing up with people from Melbourne ringing her being like, what's going on? She had to screen that many calls.
Wow, that's so good that the whole community was like, oh, what's happening?
Yeah.
Like, so interested in what you were doing and what went wrong.
Mm. Yeah.
During your race, like, what sort of strategies do you employ to, like, remain focused and stay on track? And, like, with that as well, like, mindset, what do you actually think about when you have all this time throughout the race?
No music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In triathlons.
One of my friends asked me this and I was like, I'll think about what I think about. And to be honest, like a lot of the time you're just thinking about the race. So during the swim, at the start, a lot of stuff happens because obviously everyone starts together, your heart rate's really high. So I'm thinking about just trying to like relax and get my heart rate down. And then like someone will punch you in the face and you're like, okay, like I better breathe this way instead. And then you'll choke on water and, you know, so you're just thinking about like staying calm. And then another thing is like you want to try and stay on someone's feet to get a bit of a drag in the water. And you're kind of just thinking about the feet in front of you and yeah. like staying up with them and like making sure that no one's cutting you off to get onto those feet and I don't know, like you're honestly just thinking about the race the whole time.
So, yeah, so you stay pretty present most of the time.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially in the water. Is there anywhere like your mind, like I don't know, it just goes weird places, like on the bike or in the run?
Probably more so in the bike or the run. Like the bike, aside from thinking about your nutrition and like timing and whatever, it's a long time to be out there, so. Yeah.
Do you ever try and like compete with other people around you? Like, are you one to do that?
Not really. Yeah. No.
Because
no.
I know Brando would probably do something like
that. Mate, I don't know. Like, maybe if it's someone that you've been training with, like, yeah. you might want to beat someone that you've been training with. But, like, you don't know, like, where, like a random, like you don't know how much training they've done, so yeah. if you try and match them then that might like throw you out.
Exactly. So, yeah, you just kind of gotta, it's for a race that long, you gotta stay focused on what you're doing. So, I think the only thing I do look at though is you have your category on the back of your calf, and so I'll look for girls that have the same like letter as me.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
I need to beat that girl.
So you do somewhat.
A little bit. But if someone flies past me, I'm like, oh, well.
Yeah.
I'll get her on the run.
Yeah, but mostly it's like you just competing against yourself, really.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Like definitely. Overcoming your own mental, I don't know, barriers.
Yeah, exactly.
To get on. So from the Ironman, did you end up qualifying for Kona?
I did.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a massive achievement.
Thanks.
And when does Kona happen?
14th of October this year.
So now you're just starting to build back into just full started. Prep again.
Yeah. So I wanted to have a longer prep than I did for New Zealand. Just going into winter, like it gives you an opportunity to get sick and actually have time off if you need it. And, you know, if you have any little niggles or anything. It's just not as stressful thinking about taking a couple of days off. It doesn't
really
matter. Yeah. I should probably mention too, for anyone that doesn't know what Kona is, it's basically like the world championships of Ironman. So basically like the Olympics. But for Ironman, isn't it? Like basically the best of the best.
Yeah, I guess
you compete against
them. How many competitors?
I actually don't know.
Are you not sure?
No.
Yeah. So no. You have to hit a particular time or...?
No, so the way they do it is they will allocate a certain number of spots at each race for each age group. So I think in my age group there was 6 available.
Yeah.
And they just will be automatically given to the top 6. But if you don't accept your position, that rolls down to the next person. Okay. So, yeah, it's not always where you place or what time you get. It's just kind of who you're racing on the day and, yeah.
Is that around the world? Like 6 people?
Oh, no, I think it's like a percentage of how many people are like enrolled in that race.
Okay.
I'm not really sure how they do it, but it does change. Yeah.
So you obviously have role models. Which one would stand out the most to you? And do you have like female role models that...
I actually went through these questions last night with my friend and I was like, I actually don't really have anyone that I like is my right role model or like inspired me to do this or anything like that. I just think that I just really like it and I'm not trying to be someone else. I'm just trying to be the best version of myself. And like with that, maybe you become a role model to other people, and I think that's pretty cool.
Oh, that's pretty important.
You're definitely a role model to a lot of people in the community, like Iron Ryan community anyway. I've seen heaps of people mention you many a time, so they look up to you.
I think it's still definitely like, you don't have to have a specific role model. Like, you just sort of capture different ideas and things that you value as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess that's things that you gravitate towards as well, and you try and work those things out.
Has all the training from like an Ironman, has it affected your health at all, being a female?
Because
it is a lot of training. I know, like, for males, like, I think it's pretty common for like testosterone to drop a lot for males, but for females,
yeah,
you're training that much.
It's actually hard for me to say because I have the implant on, and so I don't actually get my period anyway, so I haven't lost it, but I definitely know that there has been times where like I've been super depleted, and like there'll be a mental shift and things like that, so I do know that it affects my hormones, but it's hard for me to gauge exactly where I'm at.
How do you approach that? Do you, is it longer rest periods, trying to listen to your body a bit more?
Well, yeah, I think you learn each time, and like this time my prep will be a lot different. I think the first time I just pushed through and like
got through it.
Through it. And then definitely sleep is a massive thing, and I'm really bad at it. Like, I think I average about 5 or 5.5 hours. Oh, it's so bad.
Per day.
I'd be so
grumpy.
I don't think I'd exist
if I was on 5 hours.
I know. But
everyone is different, though. Sort of works for you.
It works for me, but it doesn't work for me because, like, then I crash and burn and, like, I don't know. I think I could be a better version of myself if I slept
with a
little
bit more sleep.
Yeah.
Does your coach have any input about your sleep?
He is onto it.
So he will look at like those metrics as well.
100%. Yeah.
Is that utilize your Garmin with that?
I wear it all the time, so it does. And then it sends the data direct like to him.
Oh, does it?
Every day. So he's like Hawkeye, like watching.
How does what's that integrated with? What app?
Training Peaks.
Oh, Training Peaks. So right. Oh, that's good feedback.
Definitely
helps for a coach.
Yeah.
Keeps you accountable as well.
Yeah. Mm. And I think it's something we didn't really like think about until the end of the New Zealand prep, and I was like probably 2 weeks out, I was really struggling to get sessions in, and like with work and everything like that, I couldn't remember the last time I just sat on my couch and,
thinking about, what's the next thing I should be trying for?
100%. Yeah. You can't focus on anything you're doing because you're thinking about what you have to do after work or what time you have to go to bed because you're going to be up at this time so that you can get this session in, but then still get home to walk your dog before you go to work and treat these people. And then the whole time you're treating people,
I'm thinking about training.
Like, it's so bad. Like, I'm never present.
Yeah. We sort of discussed this with Iron Ryan as well, but what's like the biggest compromises you've had to do with training so excessively with triathlons?
Yeah. Like,
sacrifices that you've had to take?
Probably like my social life, I would say, just not being able to see friends and family as much. And I'm super lucky again because I get to be part of Ryan's community and see all my friends within that. But I have a lot of other friends that have been very patient with me, because I'm just not there, or even when I'm there, I'm like a zombie.
Good friends know that you're trained, like that's your goal, and it's not going to be forever.
Yeah, exactly.
So they probably actually really respect what you do anyway. But obviously you do have to sacrifice some social life.
Yeah.
In being able to achieve great goals like which you have done already.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I'm in a like age where a lot of my friends are married and starting to have babies or have kids and stuff like that. So, their time's consumed with their own families and stuff. So I kind of at the start thought, oh, like I'm missing out and I'm letting them down. But really, like they've got their own lives anyway. So they're pretty understanding.
Yeah. I'm sure they are.
Yeah.
Do you ever have like a point where you maybe want to settle down and have kids, or that's never...
I don't really know.
That's a deep question. Carl's throwing some deep questions here.
Do you know what? I would say like... Sorry.
You don't have to answer
it. You can tell him to fuck off.
Yeah. He's nosy bastard. No, I don't mind. I'd say like 5 years ago, I would have been like, oh, like I can't wait to have kids and do all that kind of stuff. But at the moment, like even if I was in a position to have kids, I wouldn't, because like what my body's allowing me to do is pretty awesome, and I'm just probably a bit too selfish right now to give that up to do that anyway. And fuck, like who has time to date? I don't know, like I can barely see people that
probably not when you're trying to 21 to 25 hours.
My limited time to see people, I'm like, I don't want to hang out with strangers, like I want to hang out with my friends.
Your dates are training.
Yeah. Do you want to come on a 6-hour bike ride with me?
Well, someone might be up to it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
No, I appreciate you answering that one. Probably move on to a more placid one. Because you're osteo.
Yes.
So my biggest question is, I was thinking about this and I was like, what's the biggest difference between an osteo and physio?
God, I'll probably get in trouble from someone for this answer, but I would say, and this again is a very generic answer, most osteopaths work really holistically and they're like 100% hands-on treating. Like if someone comes in with back pain, they'll treat for the pain and give them symptomatic relief and like guide them on what they could be doing to, you know, not let that happen again or improve their lifestyle or whatever. And then I think physios tend to be more rehab based. So they might do a little bit of treatment, like hands-on treatment at the beginning. And then most of the way they treat is by prescribing exercises and educating them on how they can improve. So I kind of look at it like osteos are for symptomatic relief and then physios are really good to get them up and moving and help them long term.
Like a plan.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah.
Did you weigh up doing either or other, or it was...
I actually didn't really know what osteo was when I applied for the course.
Yeah,
so straight out of school you got your ATAR and you're like, I'm just gonna apply for it.
Well, no, so it's like through in year 12 you have preferences. Yeah. And like leading into year, like my whole life all I wanted to do was medicine, and then I got to VCE and thought, oh shit, I don't think I'll work that hard. It's really hard to do medicine. And so
another 4 years after what you did do.
Yeah, for most people, whatever reason this is, they look at physio if they don't get into med or whatever. So I looked at that, and pretty much any healthcare I was keen to do. And then my brother went to an osteo and was like, oh, they're really good. Like they helped me with whatever he went there for, and you should do that. So I looked up the course guide, kind of sounded like physio to me. And then I ran, because I'd missed all the deadlines to apply for the course at this point. So I rang the uni and this guy answered like the student line. I was like, oh yeah, like osteo is not that popular, you're probably right, just apply. I was like, what is this course?
He really didn't talk it up.
He was just like, oh yeah, like whatever, you'll be right. I'm like, fucking stoner uni student, like classic. And then I put it as my number one preference because I was like, it'll make me look like I really want to do it. And then after year 12, like got your Enterscore and all that kind of stuff. And then my mum rang me. I think I was overseas or something. And she's like, oh, you got an early offer at osteo. And I was like, fuck, I don't even know what it is. And I won't get a second round offer because it was my first preference. So I had this like minor panic attack. And then still like accepted it. And then still first day of uni went there. There was probably like 50 people in my course. And this teacher was like, oh, so who has been to an osteo? Like, who's inspired by their osteopath? And like 95% of the kids put their hand up. And I was just like, oh my God, what am I doing?
So you hadn't even been and seen an osteo?
Never seen an osteo. Mm. No.
There you go. Yeah. And like, did you enjoy the course?
I loved the course. It was really good. It was basically like going to school again because it's a 5-year course and it's a really tight core. Well, when I did it, it was a smaller cohort. Mm. And there was certainly some subjects where I was a bit like, I don't know, I didn't do well or like it just didn't really fit my
relevance.
Mm. No. And then I remember like obviously getting through the 5 years and one of the teachers, we did this like little valedictory kind of thing just at the corner and she like gave us little certificates on stage and she shook my hand and said, well done Gab, didn't think you'd make it.
That's insane.
Bitch.
So that was at the end of the course and she said that,
didn't think you'd make it. Oh, well done. Yeah.
Yes,
all right.
And you obviously got your own business now. Are you enjoying doing that?
Yeah,
that...
so I've worked at a clinic for almost 10 years, next year will be 10 years, and I just started my own little business on the side, just working from home because obviously being a part of triathlon and running and having some friends to play football and things like that, they always kind of come into me asking for treatment, but I didn't have the space or the time to do it. So... Mm. Yeah, it's been really good. It's been, well, I don't know, probably like 6 months or something, but it seems to be pretty busy.
How many hours? So you're still at your current work?
Yeah,
how
I
many
still
hours
do
you?
Well, I always go by patients. So I probably see about 40 patients at the clinic. And then I've been seeing maybe like anywhere between like 10 and 15 at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you plan to fully transition to your own business or are you happy doing what you're doing now?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a good answer.
We'll see what happens.
But is like your own business starting to pick up a bit more too now?
Yeah, definitely. But it's one of those things that will you know, people will come and go. It's busy at the moment because obviously a lot of the boys are coming through leading up to Cairns. So once that's done, it'll drop off a little bit.
Yeah.
And then once football season's done, like,
drops off again.
Those boys will drop off and I wouldn't change anything this year just because like my focus is Kona and the hours at the moment work well for me. So,
I can definitely see how you wouldn't have too much spare time with all the hours with work and then the hours with triathlons.
Yeah.
So
like trying to get
crazy.
That dating in, not sure.
Yeah,
not
can't
sure
get,
where it
can't
fits
get
in
married
there,
and have babies.
It's not gonna happen, is it?
Maybe after Kona.
In regards to go back to your triathlons, what's the greatest memory that you've had from a triathlon, like something that really nullified like in your brain in regards to something that you absolutely loved or just a moment.
Well, I think it was pretty cool. Like the first race, Cairns, I trained, like my training partner at the time was Jesse, and we did like pretty much our whole training together. And then in the race, I think he passed me on the bike, but then in the run, I caught him just before the finish line, so we finished that race at the same time.
Okay.
And that was pretty cool.
That's awesome. So you like both ran on the same, like red carpet.
So we did the whole lead up and then actually finished the race.
Do you think the ending's the best part of the race?
Fucking oath.
Well, everyone's there.
Yeah.
But like,
it's so cool.
What's the feeling like?
I just want to, like, you just want to cry. You just, like, you finally let that exhaustion just, like, leave your body and you just, it's so emotional. It's the best feeling ever.
And just seeing all your friends at the end as well. Like,
yeah.
Cheering you on.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. But I think, like, a lot of people don't soak it up enough and, like, your time stops at the beginning of the red carpet. So, like,
Oh, does it?
Yeah, so you can enjoy the red carpet. Oh,
okay. Yeah. There you go. So yeah. Just live it up.
Live it up. Hug your friends. Like, do all the like poses that you want to do at the finish line. Like, I don't know what people do. but yeah, you can enjoy it. Definitely. Mm. You've just done, you know, 10 and a half, 11 hours, whatever you've done. Yeah.
Get as many photos as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, skull a beer. I think Andy, I think Hawk sculled a beer. Or maybe he was cross the line. I'm not sure, but yeah, there's definitely some footage of him crushing a beer can.
I might have to consider a beer. That'd be a pretty cool photo to finish.
Yeah, absolutely. You feel pretty sick afterwards. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
So to finish it up, what is your overall like goal time for Kona?
Oh god, I actually don't. I never have goal times, like, especially when you're doing different courses. But even doing the same course, like, and I think, like, hopefully the boys know this. Like, you can't always compare it to the year before because the conditions are different. You're racing against different people. I don't know. There's so many things that can go right and wrong on a day. Like, it's a really long day. So, I think I always just hope that I enjoy the day and nothing goes wrong.
Just like leave nothing out there.
Yeah, leave nothing out there, but just enjoy it and be present and do as well as you can on the day. Don't compete against anyone but yourself in that moment. So if like in New Zealand, I was definitely pretty disappointed that I didn't do better than I did in Cairns, but it's a completely different course.
Like Hilly, et cetera.
Yeah. And there was things that were just out of my control.
That's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to watching, see how you go. Yeah. I'll be watching you on the screen. Just make sure we put that time into your
mind. Now, Gabby, we do have a traditional ending at the end of our podcast now. And obviously, I love deeper conversations.
So these questions are written by Kyle himself. So
how many children do assistant, you want?
My assistant. We've got three cards out the front there. So I'll get you to pick one of them and hand it to me, and then I'll read it to you so you can answer.
Okay.
Number two. Nice.
Goes with number two or one.
Nah, this one hasn't been read, so I'm happy that you picked this one. So, who has been the biggest influence on your life, and how has that made the person you are today?
Oh, God.
That's a deep question. Take a minute.
That is a tough one.
Friends.
Family.
Mm.
Could be anything.
I don't think one particular person has been like, I think a lot of different people influenced my life.
Yeah.
In different areas.
Mm.
So who are a few people that have influenced your life?
Well, I think your parents always influence your life. My mum in particular. Just, I don't know, she's a little pocket rocket and she's like my best friend. I don't know. She's awesome.
Like those traits of like going out there and doing things sort of influenced from your mum?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. That's a really hard question. Can I choose a different one?
Nah, they're probably just as hard.
Yeah, they're all pretty hard. But no, you've answered that well. Your mother, like she's been very impactful on your life.
Yeah, I think like, you know, shit doesn't always go right in life or like doesn't turn out the way that you think it's going to turn out, but you just have to like mold to that situation. And I think, you know, her life probably hasn't turned out the way she thought it would, but she's made it into a life that's pretty amazing. And she's done it for herself and she's done it for her family and fast and things like that. So I think that's pretty influential.
Mm. Definitely.
Great way to finish, I think. Answered it well. And we might finish it up there.
Mm.
So, Gabby, thanks so much for coming on the show. You're officially a type mate of ours.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Done,